please do give me a call here in the studio. We can talk any technologically related topic that you wish. Number is 740-383-9944. One really cool thing that I'm doing, always one to give a chance for modern and very cool technology to find its place in the world. I'm broadcasting a live video where my Facebook friends, not that many of them, but a few, we have an increasing audience here, are watching me on the air do the show. Very cool. Hello, Tyler B. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. Give me a call. We can talk any technological topic that you wish. I know Tyler B. is a big game enthusiast, probably has some opinions about some of the new video game consoles that are out. And Tyler and everybody else, your opinions are very welcome. Again, you can leave a message on my Facebook, which I can relay to the audience, or just go ahead and give me a ring at 740-383-9944. Maybe your printer is not printing or not printing anything other than gibberish. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches and frustration. Maybe your monitor is monitoring the fact that you like Windows 10 about as much as, let's say, the two vice presidential candidates like each other. Maybe you have an opinion about a new piece of software or game or brand of computer that is currently out. Well, I'd be glad to speak about that with you on the air live. Again, 740-383-9944. Also, thanks to Harry with a few of his wisecracks that I see him posting on my Facebook live video as I do my show today. Harry Yeprem Jr. In the North Columbus area, quite a guru in the social media world and expert on sports, a big Reds and Bengals fan as I am. And he's called in and been live in the studio a few times, and we've discussed many topics. So a plethora of things going on here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, technology, social media, and things related to that. So we got to talk about the election. Well, if you want to call and talk about it, that's fine with me. I'm always one for a little bit of comedy. So happy to speak with that about you on the air. Let's talk about some business-related story from the world of information technology. It appears that there is a for sale sign on Twitter. How about that? Twitter has given possible buyers a deadline of October 27th. Also, thank you for listening there, Nathan from Central Illinois. Phone is ringing. Let's go ahead and see if anybody's calling and we can talk some topics of the day. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Hello, would you work to the offices of WWT?
Hello, you're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Okay. Caller, please do give me a ring back. That happens sometimes, 740-383-9944, and I'll be happy to speak with you. Again, Nathan, one of my longtime Facebook friends from Central Illinois, and thank you very much for listening. Nathan's actually a very accomplished actor and a playwright. He's actually in Wikipedia, which I found very, very impressive. He's had some of his one-act plays approved for viewing and performance in Central Illinois, and I'm quite proud of him. It's rather cool to have a budding famous playwright. He's one of my Facebook friends and one of my online listeners. Anyway, Twitter, as I mentioned, has a for sale sign, and they've given possible buyers a deadline of October 27th, about 3 weeks, to announce a sale. Potential suitors for Twitter include Salesforce.com, Google's parent company called Alphabet, and Walt Disney. Yes, Nathan's quite a fan of Walt Disney. How about that? They could actually acquire Twitter. Salesforce, which sells cloud-based sales, marketing, and customer service software to large companies, could turn Twitter's focus to customer support or mine data for business intelligence, while Google's parent company, Alphabet, may want Twitter's social and news capabilities. Disney, if they were to acquire Twitter, might use Twitter to distribute video streaming to a global audience, giving them a new channel for sports, news, and entertainment. Back in July, Twitter said that mobile video would help it attract more users and advertisers. Salesforce.com did not comment on these rumors, and Twitter, quote, doesn't comment on rumors and speculation. And that was according to emails from each of these companies. And Google and Disney did not respond to requests for comment, as this story was broken by Reuters a few days ago. Rumors of a potential buyout have swirled for almost a year after Twitter reported three consecutive quarters of zero user growth. Back in July, they told investors that they're having trouble competing for advertising dollars. Now, this string of bad news made Twitter a more affordable acquisition target as investors abandoned that company. Back in February, the market value of Twitter dropped to under $10 billion. Compare that to the zillions of dollars that their competitor Facebook is worth. Now, this latest report comes shortly after major Twitter investor Chris Sacha said he's been selling his stock and wants the social network to be acquired. He said, "I've definitely sold some Twitter shares." He told that to Bloomberg TV back on Tuesday. "I don't own as many as I used to because I'm not an idiot, but I own more than I should because I'm an idiot." Well, that's interesting. Harry says WWGH should be on Twitter. And I agree. We'll work on that, Harry, one step at a time. Perhaps you can help, being a social media guru that you are. Anyway, Sacha made these comments more than a year after he fired off a series of tweets suggesting that Twitter name its co-founder, Jack Dorsey, chief executive officer, a post that he held back between 06 and 08. Sacha even went so far as to write an 8,500-word open letter to Twitter. Dorsey retook the reins a year ago today. Twitter shares closed yesterday at $24.87 for a market cap of close to $18 billion, and Sacha doesn't see a buyer shelling out more than the current stock price. So some rumors about Twitter being purchased, maybe by Disney. That would certainly be interesting. Have any opinions about that? Send me an email. I'm very easy to reach via that communications method. Adam at WWGH1071.com, or give me a call right now. Yes, I am live in the studio broadcasting a live video on Facebook. Yes, at, gosh, my hair is a little messed up. You know, the problem with being on the air with wearing headphones, you've heard of like bed hair. I get headphone hair. It just makes his hair stick up. But that's okay, you know. I got a face for radio, I guess, as they say. Anyway, 740-383-9944. That's the number here in the studio. With me, Adam Lepp. Adam, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Let me tell you a bit about our website. Beep, beep. Yes, I toot my own horn, but that's okay, because I'm the webmaster. That's a lot of what I do here at the station. Anyway, our wonderful website, WWGH1071.com, has links to Classic Championship Wrestling, Marion Entertainment, and a few other ditties like local sports. Of course, it's high school football season, so we have links to stuff like that. We have many wrestling events, as our owners are wrestling aficionados, and we have a lot of links to that. But most importantly, our website has three things. It has a little button you can click to listen online anywhere in the world. I've personally made sure that the connection is crisp and quick and reliable. Click on the little triangle thingy on any of the pages of WWGH1071.com, be you on mobile or desktop. In a couple seconds, you will be listening live, whether you're in the Marion, Delaware, Bucyrus area, or even if you're in New Zealand. Doesn't matter. Anywhere in the world with an internet connection and web browser, you can listen. And we have the show archives, where you can listen to pretty much every show that we broadcast on this station since early January, when it was cold, when I started with the station. Some of the shows have their own sections. Myself, now with Scott Spears, and our local broadcasting legend, Charlie Evers. And last but not least, the program schedule, showing all the programs that we offer, with many, many more programs to come. We have our local broadcasting legend, Hall of Famer Charlie Evers, following me. He'll be on the air in about 45 minutes or so. And then coming up after the noon features, our program director, Scott Spears. He'll be on, I'm sure, talking politics and a bunch of other fine topics. And one thing about Scott is he has a uh, He has a tendency to have celebrity guests on his show. Again, he's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between about 10 afternoon and 2. In the last few weeks, he's had Marla Gibbs, again, star of The Jeffersons and 227. He's had Robin Leach on. How about that, Robin Leach? Mary Ellen Withrow, she's on about once a month, a former U.S. treasurer under what I call Bill Clinton number one. And she comes live in the studio because she lives in the area. How about that? So she's on regularly. Of course, Mr. McFeely, David Newell from Mr. Rogers, he's been on a few times, and I had the pleasure of hanging out with him a few weeks ago when he was live in the studio and appeared in the popcorn parade. We've had Congress people on from Ohio and surrounding states. So lots of great celebrity guests with Scott Spears every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon. And again, last but not least, my show every Tuesday and Thursday right after 9 a.m. features here on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH. Adam Lepp here. It's about, 27 minutes after 9 Eastern Daylight Time. Good morning. I tell you, summer seems to have made a reappearance, although it's going to be a bit on the chilly side. Low temperatures in the low 40s coming this weekend. But I guess that's part of the fun of living in Ohio. If you don't like the weather, well, hang out and stick around a bit. It will change. Taking your calls here live in the studio, talking today's top technological topics at 740-383-9944. Harry just making a rather amusing comment. We're not going to say what he said, but if you look at my Facebook, again, Adam the Computer Guy, feel free to add me. Harry's one to make some fun comments, and it's always appreciated. We talked about Twitter and the fact that there's a for sale sign. One of the suitors for Twitter is Disney, which is rather cool. Let's talk about Google. Google being the number one website in the United States. We often count down the top 50 websites in the U.S., and Google's been number one ever since I started doing that. On Tuesday, Google announced a new smartphone and home hub that squarely aims at products from Apple and Amazon. Now, their new branded smartphone is called Pixel. It marks a departure from previous items. Up to now, Google's Nexus phones were made by a variety of manufacturers that sold them under their own brands. Jeff Orr, Senior Practice Director for Mobile Devices at ABI Research, said Google is trying to position itself as a complete supplier rather than simply offering Nexus-branded handsets that were rebatched by another company. Google announced Pixel, along with its home entertainment and smart device hub called Google Home, at a launch event at Girardelli Square in San Francisco. At the forum, they emphasize the unity of the ecosystem behind the new hardware offerings. Jeff Orr said, "That's more of a challenge to a device leader like Apple than an announcement of the next generation of Google-branded handsets." Vice President for Hardware Rick Osterloh said, "Google needed to go into the hardware to address an information explosion." He said, "These informational changes mean that technology needs to be smart and just work for you. This is why we believe the next big innovation is going to take place at the intersection of hardware and software, with artificial intelligence at the center." I'd like to welcome the very lovely Diana. She's from Marion. She is a retired school teacher, a very, very lovely lady who does listen to my show, and she greeted me on my Facebook Live video. Hello, Diana. Thank you very much for listening. Glad to talk to you again. Anyway, about the story related to Google and its new generation of smartphones. Their VP for hardware, again, Rick Osterloh, said, "Hardware is not a new area for Google, but now we're taking steps to showcase the very best of Google across a family of devices designed and built by us. Google's new devices can provide many new experiences for their users." Ross Rubin from Reticle Research, a expert in the field, said, "The announcement of Google's phone comes into a market where we're seeing growth slow down in the premium segment. That said, They're bringing experiences to the phone way beyond the typical interaction we have on smartphones today. Bob O'Donnell from Technalysis Research said, in moving from providing an operating system, that is Android, to offering hardware for sale, Google is emulating another big tech player. They're using the strategy Microsoft used with its Surface tablets. They're trying to make a statement with their brand. Microsoft isn't the only big tech player that Google is borrowing ideas from, let's say. What Google is doing is trying to show how they can integrate all their software, services, and hardware in a unified way, in the same way that Apple does. Again, comes from Bob O'Donnell from Technalysis Research. It's definitely a page out of Apple's book in that regard. Google's Pixel phones come in two models. Big difference being screen and battery size. The Pixel has a 5-inch screen with a resolution of 1920 by 1080, while the Pixel XL has a 5.5-inch screen. Amazing how cell phones used to be big, then they got small, now they're getting big again. 5.5 inches with a really good resolution, 2560 by 1440. Both have a very high-rated camera. Got high marks from camera testing company DxOMark. So Google delving further into the smartphone market, making their phones smart with excellent cameras and some other fantastically fabulous features. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, on your FM dial, and broadcasting online 24/7 by the magic and power of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Broadcasting a live Facebook video while I do my show. I thought I would try that out today. And I tell you, it is cool with a capital C, and I think I will do that probably for the foreseeable future. Kind of a cool idea that I thought of as I was driving into the studio this morning. Feel free to give me a call here in the studio. We can talk today's top technology topics. I can answer any questions that you might have on the computers at your home or office or nonprofit organization in your car, in your pocket. As I said, maybe your server is only serving you headaches. Your printer is only printing gibberish. Your monitor is monitoring your aggravation with Windows 10 or whatever it is that you're using. And maybe your keyboard is the key to a less fun life. Give me a ring here. I offer free technical support, 740-383-9944. 9944 stands, of course, for WWGH. Okay, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the election. I know you have been anticipating it with bated breath. Had the VP debate recently, and I think on Sunday would be the next presidential debate, starring the Donald and the Hill. It's no longer a question whether hackers will influence the election in the United States. Only how much they'll be able to sway the elections. Now, leaked emails have already cost a Democratic Party chairperson her job. And in September, the FBI issued a warning that foreign cyber adversaries had breached two state election databases. Those two states, likely Arizona and Illinois, two of the most populous states in the United States. We have a telephone call. I think it's who I think it is, but we'll find out who it is. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Adam.
Hello. How are you today, sir?
All right. How are you doing?
Well, fairly fantabulous for a fall day. Feels more like summer.
I can barely hear you, Adam.
Oh, fairly fantabulous for a fall day. It feels more like summer, though. Is that any better?
That's better.
Okay, great. Right. Let me know. I can always talk louder. That's okay. You know, I'm not going to cough like a certain vice presidential candidate. But I'm glad that she has addressed her medical issues and seems very healthy and chipper from last time I saw her. Not in person, just on TV.
Yes, I was wondering if you can confirm or deny during your hiatus that you may be in negotiations with a large media conglomerate for your show.
It's quite possible. I mean, how old is Marty Bredeman? 107, or I wouldn't mind being maybe the next voice of the Cincinnati Reds. Do you think I would be any good? I mean, do you think I would bias it toward my favorite player, Brandon Phillips, and maybe say that Joey Votto made too much money. Maybe I would bash the Cardinals too many times.
Well, maybe. You might get in trouble. I heard that actually you were looking to take over for the great American Bill Cunningham.
Bill Cunningham. What I have to do is reality show on TV also. But I have to do that.
I think that show actually is no longer in existence.
Oh, it was canceled. Oh, that's
weird. I think he pretty much pulled the plug on it. He was tired of traveling to New York, he says. And he just wanted to stay in Cincinnati and not have to fly out to New York every other month and do the show. So he pulled the plug on it. It actually was a very popular show from what I read, except that the ironic thing about it was a very popular show in most media markets, except in the city of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how it is. I mean, maybe with Jerry Springer also, he was more popular in other cities.
Yeah, it got good ratings in, like, New York and Atlanta and Chicago, but in his hometown of Cincinnati, that actual TV show ranked dead last at 3 o'clock.
So you think I'd be the replacement for Mr. Bill or Willie Cunningham?
Throwing it out there. I'm just throwing the rumors that I heard maybe
that's a possibility. I tell you,
the Adam Lux show maybe going nationwide.
That would be a very cool thing, Harry. And I appreciate your vote of confidence. But yeah, I may have been in negotiations. We're really not quite sure why I had a hiatus. But as you can see, I'm back. I'm live video. Good morning,
yes.
Karen. Karen being a longtime friend of mine, she's watching. I've known Karen like 25 years. We were former coworkers.
Well, and she kind of take it to the social media side, what you're doing today, I have noticed a lot of media markets have been doing it, but especially a lot of radio stations recently have been going this route of doing segments on Facebook Live or doing short videos, I guess to just keep the word out there, to keep promotion going, to kind of keep things sparked and new and interesting for their listeners. So I know WTVN's been doing it a lot lately. If I could talk, all of a sudden I can't talk. Thanks. And WLW's done it. So you had a growing trend here of engaging listeners through Facebook Live.
And one thing you didn't mention is any of the other stations in Marion, because we're the best. I mean, no one's even close. So we are doing things that... WOW is one of the most powerful radio stations in the world. They used to have 500,000 watts, they have 50,000 watts, and you can get that station in 2/3 of the country at night. During the day,
well, I believe at night, yeah, you can 38 states.
Yeah, and I mean even almost to Chicago during the day with that frequency. So we're doing things that these guys do with topics that cross cross boundaries all over the world, and we have Scott with his celebrity guests. I mean,
it'd be nice if he's cure maybe a little bit younger, but other than that, yes, you're following in their lead.
Definitely. So I think we do some pretty awesome things here, and don't let the LPFM designation fool you. LP stands for large and powerful, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. Large and powerful. Large and powerful.
Fantastic media.
Well, one thing I do want to touch about, as far as social media, here recently, as far as myself, not exactly personally, but within the boundaries of my Facebook friends and family, we had a situation where someone was busted online putting the news on another person's female friend, girlfriend. And that person got busted. And when the person was caught, they claimed that a fake profile was made of them, and that this person was trying to, in some way, impersonate them and make them look bad. So I guess, long story short, have you ever had a situation, or what are your views on fake profiles, I guess what some people may call catfishing, where people impersonate other people on Facebook or Twitter in order to, say, make the moves on another's partner or just to do nefarious activities? Have you ever encountered such a thing yourself? Or what's your views on it?
Well, actually, Harry, I bet you're impressed that I know what the term catfishing means. I saw somebody mention that when we were, I think, in a group.
Do you know what it means, or do you not?
Yeah, and I actually became familiar with that term. There are so many new ones, and it seems like they're marine-related, because we have fishing, spelled like the band fish, P-H-I-S-H, where, again, your email says it comes from your bank or the government, but it comes from a hacker that wants to infiltrate your computer or put in the ransomware or something. Now we have something called catfishing. Harry, no one has ever, to my knowledge, ever impersonated me on Facebook, and I guess that's good, but maybe it's bad because I'm not really important or popular or fun enough for that to be done. So I guess you can look at it from both ways. Facebook certainly cracks down on a lot of things. I mean, I've reported posts that I knew were spams or otherwise undesirable from some groups that I'm in, and I talked about how they looked at this artwork which showed a naked child, but it was art. It wasn't something designed to be pornographic, and that they did end up changing their mind on it because it was a piece of art. So sometimes Facebook errs in terms of how they filter out posts. But I think they should come down very, very, very strongly on this. One thing they've done is they have strengthened the rules about what name you use when you are posting as yourself. For example, I can no longer be known as Adam the Computer Guy Lepp. I have to be known as Adam Lepp because that's not my name. They wanted a copy of my driver's license. So they are making people not use some nicknames or aliases, but actually use their real name. And it's interesting because we have some people where they might change the name around a little bit, but it still looks like it's a regular name, so Facebook doesn't catch it. But they correctly deduce that my parents didn't give me the middle name, the computer guy. And so,
well, and also as well, I've noticed that also, that some people who use a different name or a catchy name as far as marketing or as a personality, they've had to change as well. Wildman Walker, who some listening may know as he, I guess, in his own mind is a legend as far as sports talk in Cincinnati. He was known on Facebook as Wildman Walker. Well, within the past 6 months, he had to change it to his real name, which is Dennis. He couldn't use Wildman Walker anymore because apparently Facebook cracked down on him. So they have to go and set up a fan page, Wildman Walker fan page. So I've noticed that as well. Facebook is very, very, very much against the nicknames or promotional names or cute names or whatever you want to call them.
And I think no doubt, Harry, it's partially to make money. As with a business page, they'll constantly bombard you with trying to promote the site by selling you ads and selling you preferred placement on your fans' pages. So more than likely, there's a marketing
I'm sure there is. Some way to get some more money or get money out of people, because except for advertising, luckily for us, you don't have to pay to use Facebook, though there have been numerous scams in that regard as well, where people have tried to fool others into thinking
exactly. I mean, you
that eventually you will have to pay to use Facebook.
Remember when AOL, back in the olden days, meaning 1995-96, when I started using AOL, and I'd get these IMs saying that it was from Steve Case, who was the CEO of AOL, that we had to verify your password, you had to pay for AOL, whatever, and actually you did have to pay for it at that time, but it would be a different payment. But bottom line, it was fake IMs and try to get your credit card number or password or what have you. So
right.
It's happened, but probably taking on a different side as social media and people's usage of the internet and what you pay for, what you don't pay for, how that has changed, and of course, internet becoming faster, everybody being online, so they're finding different ways to try to fool people. And as I tell my customers, if like a spammer sends out 1,000 Viagra emails, one person's going to respond to it and buy the fake Viagra and be out of $1,000. Well, that spammer has still made money. But that person has to go to sleep at night, and I go to sleep at night knowing that I help my customers make their computers work better and more securely. I could never possibly, my ethics would never allow me to do something like that, even though I'd make a lot of money if I did. But I'm a person of
It's weird, though, in that, like I was saying, it's within my own Facebook circle or friends that this one person, he was caught red-handed messaging this female by the female's ex-boyfriend. And so the person, the ex-boyfriend, decided to post these messages on Facebook And I guess, you know, we can get into the debate whether that is what's the word I'm looking for? The decency of that, or the legality of that, if there is any, as far as posting those messages. But this guy found the messages where this guy, other guy, is making the moves on his girlfriend and decided to post them. Well, as soon as this guy was caught, when the messages were posted, the person in question then claimed that he was hacked, that it wasn't him. Now, it just seems so convenient anymore when somebody does something silly, and this has happened to professional athletes and actors and singers, that if they do something offensive or something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, the first thing they'll run to is, I've been hacked, I've been hacked. I just wish someday someone would just own it and say, yeah, I made a mistake, I apologize for what I did, what I posted, what I said, and I will just make amends. I apologize. But instead, it's just so easy anymore for people to say, I've been hacked, I've been hacked. Have you ever encountered that situation where someone has come to you and said, I apologize, I've been hacked, I've been hacked?
It's kind of like saying, well, I didn't really say that. My girlfriend made me, or impersonated me, or someone else wrote the letter.
Right.
This is an electronic version of doing that, and you don't really know what to believe. It's kind of like a fact-checking, just like the election. And I tell
Correct.
You, maybe a very good year for polygraphers. I guess people that operate polygraph instruments. Between the debate and the election and these candidates, both of which, I think their noses are growing, like Pinocchio, maybe one more than the other. Or people, again, claiming on social media that someone else did it, I got hacked, whatever.
Yeah, and then the weird thing is about it, and it is a person we both know, and I'll leave it at that, is that there was no reason for the ex-boyfriend to impersonate this person, to hack them. I mean, there would be nothing to gain by this, but, you know, the other person questions, I've been hacked, I'm going to call law enforcement if you continue this. It just went so far to cover his own tracks by saying he was hacked, he's going to call the police, when all the person had to do is say, listen, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been butting my nose in, you know, you two just broke up, I know it's a very tenuous situation. Say something to that effect, but no, it's always the I've been hacked, or no, that's not me card, which is so silly. And it's just one of the weird things when it comes to social media and the world we live in today.
It would seem like that is a newfangled version of what I would call rear-end covering, so to speak. And something else you could say, people don't want to admit that they did something. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I might joke about it, but I assure you, listeners, Adam is nowhere close to perfect. I do dumb things sometimes, and I try to own up to what I did. But by human nature, yeah, you want to go ahead and cover your rear end, so to speak.
Well, I admit that, too. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit, and I have on numerous occasions, I've had to go back and apologize to people for things I've said, or things I've posted, or a joke I've made, especially on Twitter. Twitter, here's how I view it. Facebook is more of the of the two, Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is more formal, and at least in my belief, it's a little more, say, family-friendly, whereas I believe Twitter, you can actually get away with a little bit more, be a little bit more racier, a little more edgier on Twitter. But sometimes you can push those boundaries too far, and yeah, I've had to go back and say, all right, that was a bad joke, I apologize, I'll delete it. So, yeah, sure, no one's perfect, but to use the excuse I've been hacked just seems very silly, and like I said, politicians use it when they've been caught in lies, athletes use it, musicians, people in pop culture seem to really go to that, I've been hacked, which just seems silly. Just own it. Just own your mistake and move on.
So do you think all the stuff that, all the shenanigans that Justin Bieber did, was he hacked or did somebody Photoshop him in?
I don't even remember that. I don't really follow Justin Bieber very closely, but I don't remember. But I'm sure he probably has an I've been hacked in his past as well. It seems like nowadays it's just it's just an easy way to get out of things.
Harry, is this maybe a second cousin of people who say that the police set them up and that's why they got caught with drugs or whatever else that the charge might be? Is that kind of related? Is it electronic? Is it electronic?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I guess there's some similarity to it. It's just one of the weird things about the world we live in today and the way we communicate that now in our culture, I've been hacked, can be used as a convenient excuse for mistakes.
It would seem to be an easy out, and I would agree. We'll see how that transpires, but there often are ways to find out if something really did occur as was claimed. You can look at IP addresses. I mean, you know, forensic analysis and social media and in the computer world is an interesting topic. People often, some of my customers might say, well, I have a bunch of porn sites bookmarked. And one of three things happened. They did it themselves, but they're not going to admit it. They say, oh, my grandson did it. Or
right.
Got some virus that put the links there. And from my experience, which is rather extensive with these things, the usual reason is that someone else in the house did it. And again, I say grandchild because that's kind of stuck out to me on a couple instances that are that I'm recalling. But oftentimes, you blame somebody else. You know, it's always we call not me.
And I'm sure you have seen some very interesting things when you've had to go in and clean out. "Quote unquote," clean out someone's computer.
Exactly, and it's I guess part of the fun of being an IT person. I would say sometimes the job does require that you be at least 18 years old. Not because younger people aren't smart, but because some of the things you might see require
right.
that you be of legal age. As much as
people just need to remember to clear their browser histories. Just remember that fun little fact.
Exactly, but also if you want to be sure no one sees it, to shred the data. Because
shred the data. I don't think I've had to go that far yet.
Well,
but
there are ways of using recovery software, Harry, to pretty much find anything that's been discarded because it just is taken out of the index. Essentially, it's like a catalog where the table of contents is removed or jumbled, but the actual stuff remains on the computer, and that's what the forensic analysis might.
Have you ever seen anything so offensive or so hideous that you've actually had to burn the computer, set it on fire?
Other than Windows 10 and its usual series of frustrations, probably no. But I've come close. What I tell people is the internet is free speech. If this is what your cup of tea, that's fine. As long as your money is green and you pay me to help you with your computer problems,
well, that's right.
That's cool with me.
Money spends.
Want to let our listeners know is our regular listener and show participant, Mr. Harry Yeprum Jr., who lives in the North Columbus area, listens, I believe, through TuneIn on his mobile device.
Correct.
Harry calls in regularly. He is a guru in social media, a man who's not afraid to provide us with his learned and erudite opinion. He's also a bit of a sports fan.
I really got you buffaloed, or you're just being very kind with that description, but thank you.
Well, we can go to that rear end covering that we were talking about earlier and maybe find out exactly what my motives are. Question for you, Harry. Hopefully you got a minute or two. You may have heard the story earlier in the show that Twitter is for sale.
I saw that, yes.
One of the
suitors
is Disney. Salesforce.com seems like a more logical purchaser. Google is looking to buy it through their parent company, Alphabet, but I think Google's big enough. I think we probably should let someone else buy it. Obviously, of the three, Salesforce.com is the most obvious. But what do you think about Disney possibly acquiring Twitter? That would certainly add to their empire.
Well, it would be another way, obviously, for Disney to help promote its interest. I would imagine ESPN would definitely get a big bump on Twitter and be promoted on Twitter by Disney. It'd be another way for them to expand the ESPN platform, so I could see that. But when you're talking about Twitter and Facebook, it's amazing to me, and I use both, but in most instances, people are either for one or for the other. It is amazing how many people on Twitter are anti-Facebook and how many people that are on Facebook are anti-Twitter. And obviously, it looks like the Facebook people are winning because the numbers you cited earlier, Facebook far and away is the most popular social media medium.
Yeah, and I'm more of a Facebook person.
I am too, but I use both.
Yeah, you're a man of many media, much media madness.
Here's the way I look at it. Facebook is more for general posting, whereas I think Twitter is a lot better when you're posting things or commenting on an event that is actually happening. Say, like last night's ball game, I would post things or tweet things on a rather continual basis about the game or interact with other people about the game on Twitter. Whereas on Facebook, that really doesn't work very well. Facebook is more of a more casual posting, a more non-immediate posting, whereas Twitter is more in the moment. That's the way I look at it, at least.
Yeah, Twitter is more of an immediate gratification with the 255 characters, although that's been increased. And Facebook, again, LinkedIn certainly is on the more business end. It's good for finding employees and finding employers. But Facebook is universal. I mean, anybody can use it. I guess 14 is the minimum age. Of course, people can lie about that. But I mean, I guess 14 is what the age you're supposed to be. Up to age 114. And there are many things you can do with it. I mean, they have the Facebook calling, Facebook video chatting is pretty good. I mean, you can't beat the price. It's free. I got the live video going now. I have two active listeners. I want to welcome Joseph and Nathaniel. Thank you for watching the video. Hope you can call the show and listen to it regularly. It's a good way to gain listenership here on Merrigan's Talking Place, WWGH. So certainly, Harry, we talked about the NFL on Twitter. That was our topic when you were on the phone a couple weeks ago. And, of course, the ESPN and Disney and Twitter hookup, that could certainly increase the sports part of Twitter.
Well, tonight's game, in fact, Thursday Night Football, they promote Twitter heavily. Because there will be a live feed on Twitter where you can watch the game, and as you watch the game on Twitter, you can comment, you can tweet about it as you have the feed on your screen. I am more of the, hey, if I'm going to watch football, I'm watching it on a big screen guy. But apparently the Twitter Thursday Night Football feed has taken off. People seem to have gravitated towards it.
I think the novelty of watching it on Twitter, but, you know, you and I pay enough money for our cable TV.
Yeah.
A nice 54-inch TV and go get get our favorite beverage at the local grocery establishment and sit there and enjoy the action.
Well, the one good thing, though, about the Thursday Night Football Twitter feed is that if I'm stuck in something or stuck at something at an event I'm really not all that interested in, I can get my smartphone out and take a glance at the feed.
Definitely. So you have that in case you need to go somewhere. If I get called to see a client with a computer issue, got Twitter there on my phone. So many, many ways to use it, and certainly universal ability to stay in touch with the world and have the world stay in touch with you 24/7 and in a leap year 366. About a minute and 30 seconds left to the show, Harry. Thanks again for calling in. Your
insights. Thank you, sir.
You're always welcome. Anything else you want to tell our audience before we say ta-ta for another show?
Well, I'll just throw it out there, as I have in the past. I am not only a social media quote-unquote guru, as Adam says, but I also am development coordinator for the Open Shelter. It's an agency here in Central Ohio that helps the homeless and largely housed. And the best way to find out more about us and how you can help those who are most vulnerable in our community is to actually go to Facebook. That's probably our best site right now, facebook.com/theopenshelter.
Well, thank you very much, Harry. And
thank you, sir.
You will call the show again soon. Have a great day.
You too.
And adios and hasta mañana.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, winding up another episode of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Thank you, Harry, for calling and chatting with me. Thank you to my plethora of live video watchers watching me do the show on Facebook. Pretty cool. That video will be available on my Facebook. Be sure to friend me, Adam the Computer Guy, and you can watch it at your leisure. Coming up next after the features at 10 a.m., it is our local broadcasting legend, Mr. Charlie Evers, taking your phone calls live at 740-383-9944. See you later. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.